Good morning, everyone. Let's look at our first Bible reading, Psalm chapter 86. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. For when I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on you that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Now let's look at our sermon passage this morning, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Thanks, Esther. Well, let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words here in 1 John chapter 4. Father, we ask that you'd help us to hear your message clearly this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said earlier on, no matter what our relationship with our earthly fathers is like, it's true to say that we all come from a father, and without him we wouldn't have life. And so today is a day that we can all be thankful to God, thankful for his gift of life through our fathers to us. And so it's to him that I'd like us now to turn our attention, to consider our great heavenly Father on this Father's Day. The question that I want to pose at this point is, why is it that we call him Father? Why do we call him Father? Well, Jesus called him Father all through the Gospels. And so to begin thinking about that question, makes sense to start there, doesn't it? Important for us to think about names. I mean, the fact that names, they mean something, don't they? You know, names have a meaning. As we grew up as kids, you know, we called our dad all sorts of names. You know, he loved boats, so we called him Skipper for a while. There's a period there that he got called Jeffrey because that's his middle name, and, you know, when we were much smaller, we thought that was quite funny. At one point, us kids, we decided that he really just looked like he should have been called Dean. I don't know why we thought that. We just thought he looked like a Dean, and so we started calling him Dino. And that name stuck, actually, all the way through to today. Now, those names, they all mean something, don't they? I mean, they might not be great meanings, but they all had some sort of meaning. What does it mean when Jesus uses the word Father? What does that mean? Well, the name Father implies something very relational, doesn't it? Like, you don't just call anyone Father. There has to be a particular sort of relationship between the two of you to do that. And 1 John describes something about the relationship between Jesus and the Heavenly Father that shows us actually why the name Father is appropriate. 1 John verse 8, it said, God is love. You notice there that it's not that God loves or that God has a love. He is love. It isn't just that God's capable of love. It's who he is. It's part of his very being and his identity. God is love. See, and that's part of what it is to be a father. There should be love between the father and the one who calls him father. And Jesus uses the word Father, and it reflects the perfect love that exists between the Heavenly Father and the Son. Two persons of the Trinity. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one essence. Three persons, but one God. We're not going to go into an explanation of the Trinity this morning, but if God is love, if that's who he is, well, then perfect love exists between the Father and the Son. And so Jesus, being God the Son, he uses the word Father because it reflects that aspect of the relationship between them. It's appropriate for him to call him Father. But actually, it's not the only reason that Jesus uses the word Father. Like, it also implies something about the order of the relationship. There's an order between the three persons of the Trinity. They're all God. There's no inequality between them, but they take on different functions. And you see it actually in verses like Matthew chapter 10. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, says Jesus. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. John chapter 4. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So you see in these verses, the Father sent the Son, and the Son willingly went. That's not saying that there's more than one divine will. It's just that the Father sent the Son to save, and the Son willingly came to do it. The Son willingly took on the flesh of humanity, willingly took on the task that the Father sent him to do, the salvation of believers. And you see that quite clearly in Philippians chapter 2. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. See, the Son, that is Jesus, is the one who through him made our salvation possible, and he did it willingly for us. You know, we all ignore God, try to make our way through life based on what we think's right and wrong, not on what God says those things are. And that's what the Bible calls sin. It's why there's mess and there's brokenness all around us in our world. And God, we must deal with that in the end. If everything's to be brought to its right and proper conclusion, which the Bible says that it will, then God has to deal with that wrongdoing of sin. There is judgment for that. And Jesus willingly took on human flesh to pay the price of human sin by dying and enduring judgment in our place. That's how God deals with our problem for us. Like the Father sent the Son for that purpose, and the Son willingly did what was needed to achieve that. So I wonder just from that whether you can see the different roles or the different functions that the Father and the Son have. They're both God, God the Father, God the Son, but they have different functions. There's an order in their relationship, is what we're getting to there. There's an order in their relationship, and we see it in how salvation is delivered. The Father sends the Son willingly goes. So for Jesus to use the word Father, it makes sense because it doesn't just reflect this perfect love between them. It reflects the functional relationship that we see in salvation between them two. It makes sense for Jesus to call him Father. And we are invited into that. We're invited into that through Jesus. We're invited into that through adoption. And what does it mean to be adopted and to be adopted into that? Well, let me explain something about adoption by telling you about a trip that my son took earlier this year over to WA. It was to visit my parents, so his grandparents. He took a mate with him. They stayed for a week with my parents. They're traveling all around. And the thing you have to know about my parents is that if you stay there, you get very, very well fed. Like, Mum grew up on a farm. Very hearty meals there, so her hospitality is pretty good. So, you know, breakfast, she might insist on bacon and eggs. You don't have to insist too hard when I'm there for that. Then you get a good, robust lunch. There'll be one sort of meat at least and coffee. And then dinner, well, could be, I don't know, thick, juicy lasagna, chicken, something like that. And then it would be followed up with something that probably comes with ice cream. So my son and his mate, now they're about 20, they eat a lot. But they were filled up with food that week. Apparently, there was one particular lunchtime, they were begging my mum not to eat. But no, she said, you had to choose from a couple of different options and you were going to eat, hungry or not. Well, at the end of the week, my son's friend thought that was all so good. He said he wanted to be adopted by my parents. Now, he's 20, so he's not, I mean, I assume he's not serious, but the sentiment was, why is that? Well, it's because he'd always get to share in that hospitality and care, wouldn't he, if he was adopted? That was the sentiment behind that. See, if he was adopted, it would make him part of the family. He would call my dad father, and he would call me a much, much, much older brother, which would be weird, but we'd share in what it means to be part of the family, wouldn't we? The order that exists in my family, the care that exists in my family, he'd be part of that. And if he was adopted, he'd be part of it always. Like, that's the thing about adoption that we're getting to here. Because that's actually what happens to us when we come to the Lord Jesus in faith. We're adopted into his family. And you can see how some of that works in verse 13 of 1 John chapter 4. God gave us his Spirit. Changes our hearts, it unites us to Jesus. And that's what it means in verse 13 when it says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. We're united to Jesus. He in us and we in him. And so I wonder if you can just grasp the implications of that, that, you know, that God sees us made innocent, forgiven through Jesus, and adopted into God's family, part of his family always. And that is the huge thing here. Like, we've just explored why Jesus calls him Father, why he's called the Son. Well, if we're united to Jesus through faith by the Holy Spirit, then we're his sons and daughters too. We're his children. I don't wonder if that just blows your mind. We're his children. That love between the Father and Son that I talked about before, that perfect love, we're invited into that. And so, of course, we call him Father, our great heavenly Father. We call him Father, recognizing the order of things, recognizing his authority, receiving his great love always. Tim Keller painted this great picture of what that looks like, so I'm going to steal this from him. He said, imagine the President of the United States or the King of England, these are important people, surrounded by high walls and security. Who can just walk into their room at 3 a.m. and ask them for a glass of water? Who has that sort of access? Who can just sort of walk past the security and ask for a glass of water at 3 a.m.? It's their kids, right? Their kids could walk in at 3 a.m. in the morning, wake them up, and ask for a glass of water. That's because of the relationship that they have with them. They have this sort of access. And if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then that is the relationship that we have with the Creator of the universe. See, and we have it always, and we have it forever. And you get the implications of that in this passage, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. First, we're given great confidence on the day of judgment. I mean, that is a fearful day. The Bible talks about it in a number of places, but invited into God's family, we are safe, forgiven, no judgment. As verse 18 says, there is no fear. And secondly, God does all of this out of his great love. And what that means is that we love him back. Because it's very hard not to love someone who loves you first. I don't know if you've ever noticed that in your lives, but if you've ever met someone who's always very interested just in you and in your life and how you're going, who puts your needs before them, it's very hard not to love someone like that in return. Very hard not to love someone who loves you first. And so, of course, we love him. That's verse 19. We love him. And if we love him, we'll love what he loves. We'll love people. See, this passage, 1 John chapter 4, it makes it clear that by being adopted into the heavenly Father's family, it brings us many brothers and sisters. It brings us each other. Church is not perfect, but we have brothers and sisters here. And if we love him, then we'll love each other. That's what this passage is saying. It takes work, that's true, and that's because love is more an action than it is a feeling. You know, if you think of Jesus who died for us, it was a great act of love. And so if we love him, we'll act in love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the way we speak, the way we listen, the way we interact and ask each other how things are, how we share life, a bit of life together. And you know, actually, by acting in love, we won't actually be able to help but grow in our feelings of brotherly and sisterly love. This is one of the great gifts of being adopted into God's family. Now, if you're here this morning and this is all new to you, maybe it's the first time that you've been here. If this idea of a heavenly Father and his great love for you, if this is new, then I wonder if it's worth, do you think it's worth taking a closer look? Is it worth taking a closer look? We run a series called Life, the Life series, regularly to do just that. And we'll be doing it again on the 3rd of November. The details are there, are on the screen. They're on our website as well. It's just four casual evenings. You'll come to understand much more about this love that God has for you and his family that he wants to adopt you into. The Life Series is just an hour of hearing a short talk about Jesus, being able to ask some questions if you want, enjoying some food together. I'll be there and I'd love to welcome you along to explore what it means to be adopted, to call him Father. If that's something that's new to you, we'd love to welcome you along to our next Life Series on the 3rd of November. Well, having heard all of that, I wonder if you can see how our Heavenly Father is a role model for all our earthly fathers. That actually, the name Father comes from our great Heavenly Father. Shows how our earthly fathers are to love and how they're to approach and care for their own families. Now, I know there are people here whose earthly fathers were not perfect, but know that you do have a perfect Heavenly Father who loves you deeply, who will never leave you, who will never let you down. And for those who are fathers, there's heaps of messaging and information, isn't there, coming at us from all sorts of sources about what it is to be a father. But let me just say that the Bible is the best place to look, because the whole concept of what a father is comes from the Heavenly Father. And so we look to him as our role model. And actually, it's not something that's just restricted to biological fathers. You can be a fatherly role model to someone and be a real gift without being biologically related. There's a really great book by Al Stewart called The Manual. Has anyone read The Manual? There's a really great book by him called The Manual, and it's a section devoted to what the Bible says about being a father. If you've not read it, I highly recommend it. And I've brought in a couple of copies. They're over by the coffee machine there. You'd be very welcome to borrow one, to take it and read it, or even if you wanted to take one as a gift, there's a couple of new copies there. You'd be very welcome to buy them as well. They're just $20 each to do that, and you can come and grab me to arrange it. I do recommend The Manual. It's well worth reading. What does the Bible say about being a father? Well, just three things as we finish up. The first is the foundation of being a father is love. You know, in the love of the Father, what we see is that he puts our needs before his. It's one of the defining characteristics of his love. He doesn't need us. He doesn't require a relationship with us for his benefit. He brings us into that because he loves, for our benefit. And he did it at a great cost to himself. And so fathers are called to lead in love like that, sacrificially providing and protecting, making safe their families. Our Heavenly Father, it says in verse 18, drives out fear. And so earthly fathers are called to do the same. You know, to provide a place where family feels safe, physically and emotionally. Secondly, our Heavenly Father is consistently there for us. He never leaves us, he never forgets us. And turning to him in repentant faith, he always forgives us. He just keeps turning up. That's a massive part of being a father. Biological or not, the father figure just keeps turning up. Not just physically present, but active and interested and involved in the life of those that they're caring for. They just keep turning up day after day, week after week, year after year. Finally, the most loving thing an earthly father can do is to show those around them our great Heavenly Father and how we approach him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The single most important thing, the single most loving thing that you can do for anyone is that. Lead them to see their Heavenly Father who forgives all our wrongs, all our imperfections, and through faith forgives all of us for all of those things. And if you're an earthly father, you know you need that too. We all so need that. This great love that he has for us right into eternity, and which brings us into his great heavenly family through faith in the Lord Jesus forever. Let's spend some time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus, who through faith brings us into your family, and we ask that you would enable us to receive that magnificent inheritance to call you Father. Pray that we would see that with fresh eyes this morning and that we would grow every day in our love and our knowledge of you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's time now for our youth to head out.